Hey, good morning. I hope this finds you in your pajamas or coming in fresh from sledding with the kids outside. Most of all, I hope it finds you safe. I know there's a lot of ice in the roads. I'm sad we're not getting to meet together physically to gather this weekend. And this is not going to be a sermon, by the way. When there's snow outside and sleds in the garage, nobody wants to listen to me talk for 43 minutes. But I did want to give you a general encouragement heading into the new year. I am excited about starting a new series next week when we're all together, but we have a great opportunity now. I met with a couple dozen men at our Thursday morning Bible study. We've been doing this Bible study for a long time. It's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite points in the week. We looked this last time at our motivations behind why we want to change, our ambitions that are kind of nestled behind our New Year's resolutions, and why the why actually matters. It was a good conversation, but we did transition to a second question that I think is going to be important for us in the next few minutes, and that is, what do we do whenever we fail at our attempts to change, or when we quit? You see, 48 hours ago, you might not have known this, was Quitter's Day. And we're in the middle of Quitter's Weekend, so happy Quitter's Weekend, I guess. You might think I'm making this up. I'm not. If you've never heard of it before, you're not alone. It's only a few years old. There are some people that kind of noticed it on Strava, which is an app, by the way, for athletes. It's kind of like Facebook for athletes. They log all of their workouts. It's a lot of fun for that community. They noticed that there was a drop-off of activity of up to 80% once you get to the second Friday of the year. Apparently, that's when a lot of the New Year's resolutions that people set run out of steam. So not only do we fail and quit, we do so fast. So now, you know, I think I've preached every single year as a lead pastor on how it's important for you and I as Christians to always resolve to be changing. So New Year's resolutions are a big thing for me. If you've been at Legacy for any amount of time, you know I can kind of be a nerd about this. However, I'm not doing that today. We're gonna look past that today, and I wanna look firmly at the question of how do we handle our failures as we change? See, as I told the men on Thursday morning, and as I've said many times with you, the gospel's perfect for quitters. The gospel is perfect for failures, and failures are perfect for Jesus. I do truly believe in this. I mean, the gospel is a story that's meant to be enjoyed by people who, through their best attempts or through no attempt at all, are taken care of and deeply loved by a God who pulls them close. It's a beautiful story of a God who has unwavering commitment to a people who are a lot less committed and who waver quite a bit often. In fact, I would say that the gospel and Christianity stand out among a sea of world religions that communicate to you that you need to do better or be better to be close to the Lord, whenever Christianity and the gospel says something very different, where we find a Christ that says, "Come to me, all who are weary," all the rebels, all the failures, all the quitters, all those who are deeply damaged. You see, Quitter's Day reminds me of my frailty, of my finite edges, the fact that I can't do what I want to do, the fact that I need help to even do things like grow. And this is where the gospel becomes very fascinating to me. Some of you might remember last fall, we walked through Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. You could find it online. The series, I think, was called A Tale of Two Brothers. And we named it that because we looked at both the brothers, the older and the younger, and we noticed how we could see ourselves a little bit in each of them. And we also saw how God, in this parable, the Father, is the main character who loves both rebel and legalist in different ways, but equally. But the through line of the story is the younger brother. And this is a guy who wanted to live according to his own terms, for sure, but he had a plan, right? He had resolve. He had a firm direction that he wanted to go, and he activated that. He decided to do what was seemingly incomprehensible back then. But the problem with his plan is that it failed. A famine came, it ripped him out of his life, and he found himself eating next to pigs. This was a problem. He just dreamed about being home again. But he was firmly a failure in this moment. That's what the story teaches us. He was a failure. And at his lowest, he decides to go back to the Father. Now, what is next in this story is the most astounding part of the story, and it's really where the power of Jesus' parable is, and that's that the Father runs to him and throws his arms around him. Doesn't demand an explanation, doesn't demand restitution, he doesn't despise him, he doesn't mock him, doesn't chastise him. Instead, he runs to meet him and he pulls him close. This is what makes that story so fascinating and so beloved. The son's failure was not the end of his story, it was the pivot of his story. I mean, what I want to communicate to you in this video is that failure for you is not final for you. That's good to know on Quitter's Weekend. The gospel is good news that failure does not define us. Now, that's not what society will tell you or culture. It will tell you that your successes do define you, and you are your failures. But the gospel says something radically different. It says that you are defined not by what you do, but by what Christ has done. I mean, just imagine this tense moment on a beach described in John 21, where Jesus and Peter reunite, and this is after Jesus' resurrection, but it's also after Peter denied him three times. Man, it was a tense moment probably in Peter's heart, because what he did is he essentially quit on Jesus. He didn't just fail, he quit on Jesus, and he did so when it mattered most. And yet, what does Jesus do? He looks a whole lot like the father in the prodigal son parable. He restores him. Doesn't demand restitution. He doesn't demand an explanation. He doesn't rip him. He doesn't make it hard. Just pulls him close. You see, our quitting is not the end. That's what we see. Not when we're in the hands of Jesus. In fact, it can be the very place where God begins to write something new. Friend, your failure is not final. It's simply not final. So, why celebrate Quitter's Day, right? It's because in our endeavor to change this year, we're all going to find the edges of failure, and we're going to find it often. I don't know if you're the kind of person that likes to sit down and formally write out all of their resolutions, which would be 40% of you, or if you're the person that just kind of keeps something loose in their head or doesn't even think about it at all. That would be about 60% of you. This is what I know. 100% of us knows what it feels like to fail at becoming what they want to be. 100% of us knows what it feels like to quit. Quit relationships, quit our promises, quit our resolutions, just to simply fail. And it's in this moment, at the foot of failure, at the foot of quitting, that we feel like we must avoid God. Because we're not clean enough, we're not solid enough. We almost have to unfail ourselves and rinse ourselves of all of the embarrassing things that we have done or not done before we can feel confident coming close to the Lord. That's what we vow. We've got some work to do. Listen, this year, whether you're formal about your resolutions or not, put this at the very top. When you fail, come close to the Lord. When you fail, come close. Do so often. Beat that path down. Do so fast and do so with confidence. Not because you're impressive, but because God has done something impressive for us in the person of Jesus. And when that voice in the back of your head tells you that you're not clean enough, that you're not right enough, that you have not unfailed yourself enough, I want you to appeal to our King Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father. It's like in the hymn, "Before the Throne of God Above," the lyrics, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all of my sin." You see, your proximity to the Father, it is dependent on behavior, just not yours. It does depend on performance and merit and righteousness, just not yours. That rests firmly on the shoulders of King Jesus. So when you have failed, once again, run. Don't walk. Run with confidence to the feet of a very good, loving Father that is full of mercy and grace. And let me leave you with this one passage that's been resonating in my heart for the first 2 weeks of this year, and that's in Lamentations 3. We see the Bible saying, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That his mercies never end. They are new every morning. great is your faithfulness. That's in Lamentations 3. This is what this means. Every morning, God's mercies are new for you. They're not recycled. They're not rationed. They're not left over from yesterday or the week before. I want you to think about that for a moment. Something I said to the staff and the men this last week is, for the Christian, every day is New Year's Eve. Every day is the turning over of something old into something new. That's what Lamentations says. Every morning you hit the ground, God says over you, okay, new day, let's go. Fresh mercy. Fresh mercy for you. All of yesterday's failures, they're swallowed up in God's faithfulness. You don't wake up operating on yesterday's allowance of mercy. He's not calculating how much you've spent so that he knows how to ration out more today or tomorrow. His mercies are inexhaustible because there's no shelf life on them. That's not what we imagine with him. We imagine that he grows weary with how much grace and mercy we pull from him. Almost like it's a savings account that we're draining, but it's not. It's a well that never runs out. Listen, this is going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year for you, for our church. We've got a lot of goals, got a lot of great plans. I'm excited about all of that. I really am. However, this weekend I'm praying for one thing on Quitter's Weekend, and that's that you and me, we get really good at enjoying the fresh grace and fresh mercy every single day without dragging around the weight of yesterday's failures. That's what I'm praying for you, that you would come close to the Lord and that you would do so often and with great confidence. So, I love you. I hope you have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Everyone have a great week.